You are listening to a Bible study on Christ in the Old Testament by Pastor Lassman at Messiah Lutheran Church in Seattle, Washington.
Gracious Father, we begin, as we always do when we come before you, confessing our sins, that we are not worthy of your many blessings, nor are we any better than anyone else. We deserve nothing but your punishment as we confess to you. And yet, because of Jesus Christ and your grace, we know your love, we know your forgiveness, we know your peace, and that gives us such hope. Dear Father, be with us now as we begin this new study to see Christ in the Old Testament, and that there are not two Bibles, but really only one Bible, and the two Testaments go together as promise and fulfillment. Bless us to that end in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Okay, I struggled with what to teach since we're not going to go to a Bible, you know, a book. It's sort of, we said we're going to do topics for a while, themes, because we haven't done that for a long, long time. And there's many places I could go, but you never know exactly what people are going to want, and I didn't get a lot of feedback either. So I struggled and came up with this because it seems throughout the last year or so, this idea of Christ in the Old Testament has come up periodically, at least with some of you. So that's kind of why I went this way. Also, the other reason is our class in August from the seminary, Professor Jeffrey Pulse, was about Christ in the Old Testament. Perhaps you remember the catchy title, No More Peekaboo Jesus. In other words, that we don't find Christ in the Old Testament. He is the Old Testament. Now, some of our class members here this morning attended that seminary class. Would you raise your hand if you were in that class? I know some of you were here. There's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, back over there, yeah, 7. So we had a goodly number of our congregation. Now, what I'm going to talk about the Old Testament, believe it or not, I'm not going to be able to say everything. I mean, there is so much here. You might think, well, how much can there be? There is so much here that we're not going to be able to do everything. So what I'm going to do is give you sort of an overview, oversight, that A, this is true, okay, this is true, and that's going to be part of our introduction this morning, and then we'll spend a couple of months, whatever it's going to take, I'll watch the time, of looking specifically Genesis through Malachi, of where this is all true, that the Old Testament is about Christ. So today, with the time that we have, we're going to do some introductory material. And that introductory material is going to be, well, what does the New Testament say about Christ in the Old Testament? And we're going to look at several categories in a moment. What does Jesus say about him in the Old Testament? What does Paul say about Christ in the Old Testament? What does Peter say about Christ in the Old Testament? What does the Apostle John say about Christ in the Old Testament? What do other New Testament authors say about Christ in the Old Testament and some other things? Probably we won't get through that all completely this morning because we're getting a little bit of a late start. But let's begin. What does Jesus say about him and the Old Testament? And we're going to look at a couple of passages here. The first one will be John 5:39. John 5:39-46. Let's start at verse 30 just because of context. John 5, verse 30. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, let's do something I haven't done for a long time. We can talk about the triune God and Jesus. You've seen this before. And we've got the triune God, and we've got the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And of course, when Jesus says in verse 30 and following about, I do what I hear, he means from the Father. And we could look up many passages. Because it's the Son, remember, who is God. The Father's not one-third God, he's all God. The Son's not one-third God, he's all God. The Holy Spirit's not one-third God, he's all God. This is the mystery of the Trinity, but there's only one God. Okay? Yeah. Okay, so, and it's the Son, we're told, that was sent by the Father to come into the world as the man we call Jesus. And what makes Jesus unique is he has two natures. He is God, and he is man. Okay? Which is the perfect mediator between God and man. So that's what he's saying here. I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not deemed true. Now remember, he's talking to the Jews. There's another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, that's John the Baptizer, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony I receive is from man, meaning just John the Baptizer, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, that's John the Baptizer, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. 36. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. And you remember John even said that about Jesus? John said he's greater than I, because John goes on, we will look up the passages. John refers to Jesus as being before I am. Remember that? And yet John was 6 months older than Jesus. So how could Jesus be before John? Right? So they bask in the light of John for a while. And let's go over this, because we talked about this in the class in August. You must remember that since the prophet Malachi, ballpark, 400 years before Jesus, okay? No word from God. No prophets. 400 years. No voice from God. And then John comes on. That's why he made such a big splash. And that's why he says, you bask in his light for a while. He says, I'm even greater than John. Okay, so let's go back. Verse 36. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. Now, let's just say the obvious. If he's talking to the Jews about the Father, he has to be talking about the God of the Old Testament. So let's just paraphrase. The God of the Old Testament has sent me, to put it in Christian terms. 17. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen. And that's true, isn't it? The average, have you ever heard the voice of God? I mean, the audible? No. Have you ever seen God? No. What's the same with him? That's what he's saying. And you do not have his word abiding in you. For you do not believe the one he has sent. 39. You search the scriptures. Which scriptures would that be? Old Testament. Because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about. Whoa. Right? So let's just say the obvious. If we're not seeing Christ in the Old Testament, we're missing something. Because Jesus writes here, says the Old Testament bears witness to whom? Him. Okay. Yet you refuse to come to me. In other words, he's saying, now let's get this straight, because people get so mixed up. Let me put it in a framework that you'll get the point. You don't have any excuse for not believing me. You got the Old Testament. You should be able to see that I'm the one that's promised in there. He doesn't let him off the hook, does he? Well, I don't know where Jesus is in the Old Testament. He doesn't let him off the hook. He expects them to believe in him just from what? The Old Testament. And we have a lot more to say. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name. That's got to be the God of the Old Testament. And you do not receive me. If any another comes in his own name, you'll receive him. In other words, I'm going to be kind of, I hope it doesn't sound too harsh and judgmental, but the Jews will believe everybody except Jesus. That's what he's saying. You believe everybody except me? Why? 44. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? And the only God is the God of the Old Testament. Right? What's the first commandment in the Old Testament? Do not have any other gods before me. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accused you, Moses, on whom you have set your hopes. Because when they think of Moses, they think of the law, and they think to get to heaven they have to keep the law, and that's who's going to accuse them on the judgment day, because he's going to stand up and say, well, how well did you keep that law? Uh-oh. That's what he's going to say. Because that's where they put their hope. It's kind of what Rick mentioned about Rome, historically, Roman Catholic Church. They put their hope on being good people, keeping the law, and getting to heaven. That's what he says. There's one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you set your hope. That is by keeping the law. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. Well, there you have it, right? Now, the only question is for someone who doesn't understand the Bible very well is, really? Well, where is that? Well, that's what we're going to look at. But the point is, whether a person sees that or not is irrelevant. The point is, who says it? Christ. So in other words, you better what? You better look for him. Because he says the Old Testament's about him. And that's what we're going to do in this class, this course. Okay? Now, for example, let me say this. I say these things ad nauseum. It doesn't matter what you understand. Do you understand that? What do you think I'm going to say? It doesn't matter what you understand. What really matters is what you believe. There's many things we do not understand. If Jesus said something to you, he came in here and he was teaching this class, and he taught you something you didn't understand, would you reject it? The answer you're looking for is no. You don't understand. So why would you believe it? Because he said it. That's the same here. See? Now, I'm going to try to help you to understand that better in this class. But don't let your lack of understanding keep you away from accepting what he says. That's the point. Whether you understand or not, you should believe what Jesus says. The Old Testament's about him. You would have believed Moses, okay? For if you believe Moses, you believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? In other words, again, as he said earlier in the verses we read, he's saying, in the Old Testament, you have everything you need. But if you're not going to believe Moses, now listen to how I say this, if you're not going to believe Moses properly, then you're obviously not going to accept my word. Because Moses spoke of me. Okay? Okay, let's do another one in John's Gospel. John 8, 33 and following. Now remember, what we're doing in this introduction is laying down groundwork, and then we're going to run through the whole Old Testament in the months to come to understand this a little bit better, what we already believe. John 8, 33. By the way, that's a nice way to say it. It was, I always get these guys mixed up. I think it was Ambrose. I always get Ambrose and Ansel mixed up, and they're spread apart by years. But one of them said, had a Latin saying he had that was faith seeking understanding. Understanding doesn't seek faith. See? Understanding doesn't seek faith. No. You start with what? Faith. You believe what God says, and then as you study and contemplate his word, perhaps we get just a little bit more what? Understanding. But we always begin with faith. Okay, John 8, 33 to 58. Let's see, there, I lost my place here, forgive me. I like this new Bible except for the thin pages. John 8, let's start at 31. Because that's where the cutoff is. John 8, 31 to 58. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. Why, would they have gone brain dead stupid or what? What did we study all through Zechariah? How is it you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father. Okay, right? Look up here. You understand what I'm saying? See with my Father, first person of the Trinity, second person of the Trinity, before he became man. Right? And the implication all in this passage and all throughout the New Testament, even though he's a human being, God in human form, he's still in constant fellowship and communication with whom? The Father. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You're doing the works of your what your father did. They said to him, we are not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love. Now, which God is he talking about? The God of the Old Testament scriptures. For I came from God, the God of the Old Testament, your God. I'm here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Again, I'm going to say it over and over again till you get it. The God of the Old Testament sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. Now here we go, all these church growth principles with Jesus. You know, so concerned about public relations. He should have told them they had a latte stand. That would have brought him over. And your will to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning. Let's make sure you understand that. He's talking about Satan. When was the beginning? The beginning of creation. Garden of Eden. That Satan, that the serpent there was used by Satan. He's called a murderer because what did Satan bring into the world? Death. And has nothing to do with what? The truth. And don't we see that in the temptation of Adam and Eve in the garden? Did God say, oh no, you're not going to die? Because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks of his own character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. 45. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God, Old Testament God, hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Now let's make sure you get this. They don't even have faith in the God of the Old Testament. They've invented some other God. Now, if you know your Old Testament, did the people of Israel ever go to other gods?
No.
Now, hear what they've done. It's true they didn't make an idol, did they, in terms of something you could see. But they still formed an idol in that they made the Old Testament God something what? Different. That's what he's saying. And that's why you need to understand the Judaism of today is not the faith of the Old Testament. That's another place evangelicals and others get all messed up. 48. The Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan? Oh man, that's like saying you're... Oh, I've got to be careful here. I'll pick on a place that will be okay and safe. Aren't you from Concrete, Washington? What would you know? Hope nobody's in Concrete. I was going to use another city, but I might, you know. Well, that's what, this is a slam. You know, Jews and Samaritans hated each other's guts. Why do you think the parable is called the parable of the what kind of Samaritan? Because a good Jew would say, a what kind of Samaritan? A good Samaritan? So they're putting him down. Aren't you a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There's one who seeks it, and he is the judge, God of the Old Testament. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died? They probably should not have brought this up. And the prophets die. Who do you make yourself out to be? Let's pause there. Isn't that the $64,000 question of all humanity? Isn't it? Who is Jesus? Now, we won't look at the passage. Some of you know the other passages. You know, Jesus says on one or two occasions, well, who do they say I am? Oh, some say this and some say that. And who do you say that I am? I think that's in Matthew 18. We just read that not too long ago. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It's my Father who glorifies me. And who's the Father? The God of the Old Testament. Of whom you say, you Jews who read your Old Testament, he is our God. Well, that's the guy that sent me. The guy that you say is your God, that you read in the Old Testament, that's the guy that sent me. But you have not known him. Do you understand what that means? As devout as they may acted with all the temple stuff and all their stuff and following the law and all that, they weren't true what? What's the word I'm going to use? True believers. Well, they were very religious. That's true, isn't it? But they didn't have a living faith in the God of the Old Testament. I know him. See this up here? I know him in a way you could never understand. I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and I keep his word. In contrast to whom? The people he's talking to. Man, this guy's not politically correct, is he? Yeah. Your father, now watch this, your father that you're talking about here, you put so much hope in Abraham, he rejoiced that he would see whose day? What did he just say? And Jesus, well, okay, if you're going to bring up Abraham. Let me tell you about Abraham. Yeah? He could hardly wait till I showed up. What are you talking about? What do you mean Abraham was looking for you to show up? I'm paraphrasing, obviously. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was what? I am. Because the second person of the Trinity, remember, is not one-third God, he's what? All God. So every time Jesus has a phrase, I am, he's basically referring to himself as God. Maybe I'm leaving something out here. Make sure everybody gets this. The word that we don't see very much in the English Bible because it's translated as Lord is Yahweh. You all know the word Yahweh. Well, you don't see Yahweh in the Old Testament, do you? Because it's translated as Lord, capitals, L-O-R-D. If it's not capitals, it just means like a master, a boss, or a supervisor, someone to respect. But if Lord's all in caps in your English translation, it means Yahweh. The God of the Old Testament. So when Jesus says, I am, he's saying, I'm God. Now here's the deal. Let's look at this, because we've got so many good things to go through. I hope we'll get done in 4 years. No. No, I promise we'll go as fast as we can. If Jesus is this, then was he in the Old Testament? Right? And we'll look at that. He has to be, right? Because isn't this the God of the Old Testament? Now, see, even people get confused about that. The triune God, maybe we'll do that some other time or in the course if we go along here. Triune God's just not a New Testament teaching. We can find the triune God in the Old Testament. True, it's not quite as clear, but it's there. And do you think God morphed? God says, I never change? Well, yeah, in the New Testament, I'm a triune God, but I wasn't that in the Old Testament. So we got, you see our thinking? That's why this class is going to be so beneficial for you. We're going to get rid of some myths and legends and misunderstandings and a whole bunch of things and glorify Christ in the New Testament as well. So that's John. Did we make it to 58? We did, didn't we? And they liked this message so well, they picked up stones to stone him to death. Well, maybe they could use it for their new church building. Okay, let's go to Matthew 22:42. Matthew 22:42. Now, this is kind of a quote, but it fits in here. And we'll look at this when we look at the psalm later on. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? And they said to him, the son of David. And he said, okay, then how is it that David himself, in the Holy Spirit, in the psalm that he wrote, calls the Messiah Lord? In other words, he's saying the Messiah will be a descendant of who? David. Okay. Now, if it's a descendant of David, who would have the higher standing? David or the descendant under normal circumstances? David. Okay? And so then what happens, Jesus here says, okay, then how come David calls this descendant Lord? Shouldn't the descendant be calling David Lord? Why does David call him Lord? And that's what we're going to see in the psalm. So he quotes the psalm. This is David. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your foot, under your feet. Does anybody have a different translation, by the way, than ESV? What do you have there, Tony? Okay. Does anybody have the first Lord capitalized or not? What translation is that? NIV? King James. Okay. I don't know why ESV didn't do that. I can't see it capitalized here. Do you? I don't know why they did that. The NIV. Okay. See, it should be. I didn't notice that before. In other words, the first Lord refers to Yahweh. God. Okay. God. Okay. So God said to what? My Lord. Who's speaking? David. And he's the what? King. Other than God, who could be David's Lord? Are you with me or not? The first Lord. So God, Yahweh, that's the first Lord, says to King David's Lord. King David's Lord? Well, who's King David's Lord? Well, it's going to be the Messiah, right? The Christ. So let me put it this way. Yahweh said to the Messiah, sit at my right hand. Ooh, that sounds familiar from the New Testament, doesn't it? In the Creed? Until I put your enemies under your feet. And then this is what he does to the Jews who thought they knew the Bible so well. Well, let me ask you a question. If David, the king, calls him Lord, how can he be his son? Well, now we know all teenagers want dads to call him Lord, right? But that's not normal. Usually the dad doesn't call his son Lord. And this is the way Jesus does this all the time, and no one was able to what? Answer. And I love the next part. Nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. Now, these are Bible scholars. But because they have a wrong understanding of the Old Testament, they have a wrong understanding of God, they have a wrong understanding of the way of salvation, putting all their hopes in keeping the law of Moses, they're spiritually dead. You ever heard Jesus in Matthew 23 talking about the blind leading the... That's what he referred to the teachers of Israel. They're blind. Because they should understand this stuff, which he says in some of those other passages. Okay, I'm watching the clock. Let me get... I want to get the references to Jesus done here. So let's go to Luke 24, 36. Luke 24, 36. And by the way, if I ever miss a passage or something, which can be done, if you know what the passage is, you're not going to embarrass me. Bring up the passage if I've overlooked something, because this is what we're talking about with what Jesus says about the Old Testament. Maybe I've missed something. Luke 24, 36. This is, of course, after his resurrection and before his ascension into heaven. After his resurrection, before his ascension into heaven. Luke 24, 36. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them. Everybody picture the orange light. See, everybody in the AIC knows exactly what I'm talking about there. Okay. And said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. It's I myself. Touch me. And see, for a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. By the way, what does that say about our resurrection? We're going to have a body, aren't we? Now, it's going to be a little different from this. It's going to be an eternal body, a glorified body, but it's still going to be a what? A body. Otherwise, you don't know what you're saying when you say in the Creed, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection from the dead. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still disbelieved for joy. Now, can you get that? You struggle with certain Bible passages. They disbelieved for joy. What? And they were marveling. He said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Now, I'm going to give you the answer, basically. Why do you think he wanted to eat something in front of them? Because he was hungry or because... He's alive and he's got a real what? A real body. He's not a ghost. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses," and by the way, let's make sure you get this, law of Moses doesn't mean the Ten Commandments. Most lay people get confused on what the word law means. Law here means the first five books of the Old Testament written by Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's what he's talking about. And the prophets, that's all the prophets. Prophets spoke about who? Jesus. And the Psalms. Now, most scholars say the Psalms represents not just the Psalm, but all the other third part of the Old Testament scriptures. So that would be Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, things like that. Okay, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Wow! Wouldn't you have liked to have been to that class? In other words, he did in a far better way what I'm going to try to do for you. He ran through the Old Testament and showed them where all the references to him. I think I would have even skipped a Seahawks game for that one. And he said, "Thus it is written," Old Testament, "that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem," and it goes on. So he said the whole Old Testament. He broke it down for him, right? All the writings of Moses, which we heard earlier, right, in John's Gospel. All the prophets, which we'll hear about later on in other references. And the Psalms and the third part of the writings there all refer to basically him. Now, are we going to call Jesus a liar? That means the burden is on us to what? A, to believe what he says, and then to seek what? Understanding. Well, what's he talking about here? That's what we're going to try to do. Okay, let's close there, and then next week, and please spread the word because of my inadequacies in promoting this class. Please tell as many as you can, far and wide, about what we're doing here. And next week, we're going to try to go to Paul and Peter and John and then some other people in the New Testament too. Again, an overview. What do people in the New Testament, starting with Jesus, say about Jesus in the Old Testament? Okay? Let's close with prayer. Gracious Father, thank you for the beginning of this class. We pray you bring even more, that they can see your glory, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, where the New Testament is the fulfillment, and the Old Testament, all the promises. Be with us and bless us by your Spirit, to that end, in Jesus' name, amen.